Hey everybody, and welcome to The Void, a show dedicated to filling the void between being an employee and becoming self-employed. Most people refer to starting their own company as taking the leap as if they're blindly jumping off a cliff and into the unknown. This show is here to help you understand that it doesn't have to be that way. As always, if you like what you're hearing on the show, please do us a favor and help share The Void with somebody who might be wanting to start their own company. We saw an opportunity to help others understand that self-employment is well within your reach, and just as our businesses have grown organically and by word of mouth, we want this show to grow the same way. So if you see somebody asking questions about starting their own service-based business, please do us a favor and send them a link to the show. I'm your host, Mitch Smedley, and with me as always is David Hilton.
Mitch, I'm not taking you or any of this riffraff that you bring in for guest fucking podcasts out to dinner anymore.
Okay. So
I brought joy. I brought joy to the evening.
That's an interesting way to introduce our guest. We have a guest on the show today. We got Dan.
My main man, Dan.
Yo.
Dan.
Yo.
I am Dan.
Dan.
So, you have to speak with the thickest version of your Chicago accent that you can, just Dan's, for my enjoyment when I'm trying to edit this fucking shit together later.
So Dan's when you edit Chicago. It, you gotta listen to my two tree hours. Yeah. Hours of talking.
Yeah. 2 to 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. No, so, love me some Dan Bianchi.
Dan's a Tradewinds member, hails out of the Chicago area. We have a couple of members up there within 20, 30 minutes of each other. And when Dan came to Tradewinds, he was a one-man show, and now he's a three-man show.
Yep.
And so that's kind of what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about hiring your first employee.
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yeah.
That's it. That's all it gets.
So you want to hear a wild and crazy story before we get into that?
I do want to hear
a wild and
crazy story.
So I have a very good friend of mine that is very, like...
Is this what we talked about last night just for a minute?
Okay. Yeah.
I'm just making sure.
So I have a very good friend of mine who is a very upstanding citizen in the Blue Springs community. And her husband is also a very upstanding individual. However, he likes to stay out of the limelight, so he's not quite as known. But he works for a company here in Blue Springs that flies him all over the nation to work on these pieces of equipment. And he's one of only 60 people in the nation that can do what he does.
Oh,
and
shit.
So they take wonderful care of him. He's a great employee for them. You know, they say jump. He says how high, how far, when can I stop?
Yeah, because that check he gets is probably fat as shit. Yeah. Only 60 in the country?
Yeah. Only 60, yep.
So
he's getting up there Dan money.
Early December, his work sends him to California to go work on some machinery out there. And he has a layover in Denver. Well, he's driving up to the airport, and he has a medical emergency happen while he's parking his work truck in the airport parking lot. And he doesn't know what happened, but he came to, and the truck had rolled into and broken a giant pane of glass near the parking lot.
Is it where they separate in the parking lot? Do you know? Because those are huge.
I don't know.
They're like 10 by 20.
All I know is it was right next to a parking space. And so he was able to back his truck off of the broken pane of glass and just park it right in front of the broken pane of glass. And he took all these photos of it and sent it to his boss and his work and said, hey, this is the thing that happened. I got to catch a plane, but you guys need to reach out to them and figure out, you know, how do we fix this window? Like, how do we make it right?
Okay.
Right? And so he goes and catches his plane. His work calls the airport and all this stuff. Well, by the time he lands for his layover in Denver, he's being told, he's like met in the taxiway or by airport police or whatever. He's being told that he has to turn around and come back to Kansas City involving the incident in the parking lot. And so he jumps on a plane, goes right back to Kansas City, and they detain him in the little investigation room or whatever. And they're kind of grilling him at first as if he's like left the scene of an accident. And he's like, me standing here isn't going to get this window fixed any faster. Like I did.
Yeah, I told everyone he could.
I told everyone I could and everyone that's financially responsible to fix the window to get, you know.
Yeah, the powers that be.
Yeah. And so they do their investigation. They do a toxicology thing. And he's all zeros on all of the toxicology stuff.
I'd have had to run.
Which, if they did a toxicology, this is after his flight back, what if he was after the accident happened, what if he was had a couple cocktails on the plane?
Right.
And then
right. There's that's a thing that could have happened. Right. However, he didn't even do that.
Thankfully,
like it was all
thankfully,
zeros.
Yeah.
And so
yeah, I'd have been like, oh man, I fucked up. I'm on the plane. I'm like, hey, miss.
Yeah.
You just keep bringing them till I'm either asleep.
Yeah.
Or I fall out of the chair.
Right.
You know,
that's like
something.
The old trick. If you get pulled over drunk driving, crack a beer right in front of the cop and drink it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. They can't give you
he
a DUI.
He saw me open that fucking thing.
Yeah. So anyway, he comes back. They put him in the room. They do the toxicology thing. They investigate him a little bit. And his wife meets him up there. And eventually, they let him leave. And they were like, you've technically done nothing illegal. You are free to go. It looked like you were fleeing the scene of an accident at first, but now that we've know everything, you called the right people, got the right people involved,
yeah,
like
peace,
you're good.
Deuces.
Right.
Talk to you later.
So,
you
2 months later.
For this, but hey,
yeah,
no big deal.
That was early December. Fast forward to early February, and his work is sending him to Virginia to go work on a piece of machinery out there. And the piece of machinery that he needs to work on in Virginia is at a military base. And so he flies out to Virginia, and he's going to get onto this military base, and they do, you know, check all your credentials and everything else. And so they detain him at the guard shack of the military base.
I have a question. I don't know if you asked them this. When you go through TSA check,
mm-hmm.
don't they run that stuff off your ID?
Mm-hmm.
Why didn't they stop him at the airport in Kansas City?
It's a good question.
Might be federal at the
TSA's
at the,
federal level, right?
Well, so
no.
He gets.
I don't know.
He gets detained, and then they arrest him at the guard shack at the military base,
which are MPs, by the mm-hmm. way.
And they won't really tell him why. They just said that there's a warrant, and he's like, "What?"
No, those military policemen have been working that gate for 6 months with nothing to do, and they're like, "Ha ha ha!
Right.
Fuck this dude.
We got one."
So
yeah, we got one.
Come to find out, all of the people that investigated him early December found nothing wrong, but they have to, the part of their job is they have to turn in all their paperwork, and then the powers that be and the bosses make sure that the right calls were made and everything else. And so the Kansas City airport is in Platte County. The Platte County prosecutor's office decided, no, this guy's a felon. We want him for two felonies. Damage to federal property in excess of $1,000.
Airport.
And felony hit and run.
It's not intentional, so it's not a felony. And if you report it, it's not a felony.
Right.
And the other thing is, even if it is a felony, and you tell everyone, and they say you're free to go.
Right.
They change their minds, do it as a felony. They have to notify you.
Right. Right. Yeah. So
I don't know what the rule is, but I think it's like 48 hours or something.
Yeah. So they filed. So basically, they filed for a fugitive warrant for him. And so he's now.
A fugitive warrant would mean you've been told and you said fuck off and ran away.
Right.
That would be a fugitive warrant.
Yeah. A fugitive is somebody who is knowingly in violation of the law and runs anyway.
Yeah. It goes mm-hmm. from Chicago to Kansas City because
right.
he doesn't want to get caught in
yeah,
Chicago.
He's fleeing. Right?
He's fleeing.
And so, so now, this happened a week ago. He's now still in Virginia, in prison, in a jumpsuit.
It's not funny. It's funny. It's so bad.
And the lawyers were able to go in and find out like what he was charged with and everything else, because they never told him. They made him even read his own Miranda rights.
That's also illegal.
What do you mean they made him read his own
they,
Miranda
they
rights?
They put a card in front of him with all the Miranda rights on him, and they just said, read this.
I'd have said no.
Nobody recited him to him. Now, I don't know if they have to recite him
you
or not.
You have to be Mirandized, which means someone else has to read you your Miranda rights.
Yeah.
And then you have to acknowledge that you understand them.
I would imagine them saying, can you read? Yeah. Okay, read this. And that's probably...
Maybe they
the
made
same.
Him sign, like check off.
Maybe.
I could see that.
But even then, they didn't tell him what he was charged with. The lawyers had to go in and figure it out, and they figured out those two charges, and the lawyers were even surprised that it's like fugitive stuff because he wasn't...
He didn't run.
How much time was there between when he was Mirandized versus when his lawyers came in there?
A couple days.
From the way I understand it, from the moment you... or read your rights, or he read his mm-hmm. rights, or whatever, you have the right to remain silent. So,
yeah, I wouldn't
where's
say
my
shit.
Lawyer?
Right.
Yeah. You're detaining me. Yep. I have the right to remain silent. Where's
yeah,
my
so
lawyer?
I don't think he's been talking to them too much.
Yeah. Right? I wouldn't either. I'd be so fucking pissed.
Yeah. So.
Ugh.
So now
you okay,
he is.
You need to take that?
No, I don't even know who it is. So now he's sitting in Virginia in prison. And they, whenever they filed all this stuff, so they filed for all this stuff on a Friday, and he was picked up on a Tuesday.
Okay.
I think a Tuesday, Monday or a Tuesday. My mind just went blank.
You okay? It's because you drank all those whiskeys last night.
No, when they filed it, they filed it with a $10,000 cash only bond. And
okay,
so
$1,000.
So, bondsman, his wife was calling up to Platte County to say, okay, I'll just bond him out, and then he can come home. They're refusing the bond now. And they're refusing the bond until he has a hearing with the prosecuting attorney.
I really hope that she is recording everything.
Oh, yeah.
Like, on the phone, written down, details, and then when they go to sue the shit out of them, she has everything in place.
So they're denying the bond, and they're telling her flat out, like, don't even waste your time driving up here, because Platte County Courthouse is an hour and a half from here.
Yeah.
They're like, don't even waste your time flying up here or coming up here. We're not going to allow him to bond out until we have a pretrial hearing. And it's still not guaranteed we're going to let him bond out at that point. And so apparently Missouri has something like 30 days to let him sit in jail in Virginia before they go get him. And then they have like 3 days to pick him. Like, they have 30 days to pick him up and then like 3 days to get him here.
That's
so
insane.
So
that's
he could crazy. Be behind bars for like 33 days for something that he didn't do anything wrong, right? And
that's why he's getting paid.
Well, so the thing that I've been chatting with his wife about is, like, looking at this objectively, all this paperwork comes across the prosecuting attorney's desk and lands on his desk, and he's seeing, okay, guy caused damage, and then he's found in Colorado.
We arrested him in a plane.
And we got him. We had to bring him back and talk to him and interrogate him. And then after we file the warrants, he's quote unquote picked up in Virginia. And so by the time all of this hits the prosecuting attorney's desks in paperwork form, it looks like they're dealing with somebody that's trying to escape the law. Meanwhile, this dude's literally just working.
Yeah.
He's going wherever his boss tells him to work, right? And so that by no means is that an excuse, right? That's highlighting the breakdown in all of this, that all of this can happen, and yet the paperwork still reflect that he appears to look like a fugitive.
I mean, talk about not filling out your paperwork correctly
right.
on a stupid little plumbing job. Like, these guys are in charge of other people's lives and well-being, and you're telling me your paperwork's not detailed enough to actually transcribe what happened that day and get it to a prosecutor who is going to tie up hundreds and thousands of dollars worth of man hours to charge this guy for something that wasn't really a crime? Like, what the fuck?
So, ironically, today. Well, I guess this was
today.
Yesterday.
Today.
20 hours ago.
Okay, I can leave now.
There's another story. Kansas City police put an innocent nurse behind bars for 4 days in a case of mistaken identity at the KCI airport.
Oh, shit. Are you telling me it's the airport problem?
She missed her vacation to Jamaica because they mistook her identity and kept her in prison or behind bars for 4 days until they got it all sorted out. So now she's suing the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department for that.
Hey, Quentin Lucas, pay attention, you dipshit. I mean, I know he's not in charge of them, but he wants to be.
Right.
Ugh.
But this is now two incidents where that have happened at the KCI airport where they have gone way overboard with their punishment. And
do people are shooting people
in
Chicago and New York and getting out on bond? Well, you know, whatever. We'll just pay your bond. We'll get your trial date set.
It's three years
from now, but we'll get it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy to me.
Yeah, it's insane.
Freaking insane.
So they're going to learn a lot more tomorrow. We're filming this on a Monday. They have their pretrial hearing via Zoom or whatever tomorrow, to where
he'll make a short video of this on YouTube. People can
he'll be on a Zoom call in Virginia, chatting with the legal people here in Platte County, and basically begging for them to allow him to bond out so that they can go figure all this out in court. But the reason I even bring this story up, there's two reasons. One is it's another feather in the hat for how shitty the Kansas City, Missouri Police Department is. I don't want it to be a police department bashing show, but like, come on. Like, how many stories of these cops with their heads and this isn't your typical like abuse of power, excessive force, you know, arresting somebody for being at a PTA meeting. This isn't your typical, like, they're doing the physical part of the job wrong. This is the whole administration, the makeup of the job, the high, like, the people who set the structure for what happens and what doesn't.
Hey, boys and girls, it's David. Mitch and I started TradeWinds to help trades professionals start their business, or if they've already started, to get it to a healthy and profitable level. It's training, it's coaching, it's mentoring, all in one. Click on the link in the description to find out a little bit more. There's a promotional video you can watch when you go to the website. If you fill out the contact form, I'll even make Mitch call you.
This is a leadership problem.
Yes.
This is at the top of the pyramid. This isn't the guys out there doing the work.
No, the cops out there are doing an amazing job at what they're supposed to do.
Yeah.
Right.
They're just, let's be honest, some of them are probably a little short on their paperwork, right? But then that goes to someone else to be verified or to be viewed or to be looked over. Those people are obviously not doing their jobs. I mean, it's for it to go from the KCI airport, all of that information. KCI has their own security, right? And then cops come. So that's two sets of paperwork right there. And then all that paperwork has to go to Platte County.
Yeah.
And the peons that read that, that's another one. That's the third level. Yeah. Then to the prosecutor. It went through four levels of bullshit.
Yeah.
How is that? I mean, how is that possible?
I don't know.
Not call down and go, hey, what really happened here?
We're gonna learn more. So apparently the Platte County prosecutor.
Probably not.
Is a young hotshot, and he's trying to like make a name for himself. And apparently this kid is fresh out of school.
Oh, okay.
How did he get that high of a position already, fresh out of school?
That I don't know.
You got to know somebody, Dan.
Yeah.
You're
Chicago,
a young hot
Chicago
shot.
Politics.
Chicago
politics, baby. Vote early, vote often.
Where is...
Oh, Mr. Vasquez. We'll talk about
we'll talk about that in a minute,
about why we're calling you Mr. Vasquez.
Where's it at?
What are you looking for?
I'm looking for her text.
We're trying
text,
to have a show here.
Her text, I was going to show you a picture of the dude. Here it'll be.
I've seen him. Oh, Dan hasn't, I guess.
So there's your prosecutor.
First off, I thought you were going to show me a picture of her husband.
No,
but
no,
yeah,
that guy's
fucking 20.
24. Ish, maybe.
Yeah, he's looking to make a name for himself.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
good way to get fired on your first 6 months of employment too.
Yeah.
For being
how long has he been in that position?
I don't know. I don't know how long he's been there.
The prosecutor?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. His name is Zachary McKnight.
Zachary McKnight. Hey, if for some weird reason you hear this podcast and you hear what I'm about to say, pull your head out of your ass, bro. What are you doing? Like he's ever going to hear this. I hope he does.
I'm looking up Zachary McKnight, prosecutor, to see Platte County Prosecuting Attorney's Office. Yeah.
Start date.
Let's see. There's
his first day was the day that happened.
Yeah. I'll show you guys. I mean business.
I'll show you motherfuckers.
On LinkedIn, it says from February 2024 to present. So for 1 year, one month, he's the assistant prosecuting attorney in Platte County.
So that means his boss is even like dropping the ball. Like, dude, you can't let this kid do that. What are you doing?
Right. So it'll be interesting to see how this works. But the reason I even wanted to bring something like this up.
It's unbelievable.
Is just because there are things in life that happen that are out of your control that will definitely negatively impact you in the short term that require your patience in order for all things to get settled out in the long run.
Yeah.
Right? It's no different than a lot of people charge these stories with race. But when a cop pulls somebody over and the person doesn't feel like they were doing anything wrong and they start arguing with the cop on the side of the road, like, that's not the place to disagree with the cop.
No.
You know, harbor your feelings, harbor your emotions, take the ticket that they're going to hand you,
and if you
and then
battle,
prepare
yeah,
battle for battle later. And go battle later. And you can, like, own his ass later, but, like, the only thing, like, nothing good's going to happen from, I guarantee you, the moment a cop's written a ticket, no cop has ever, like, torn it up.
They don't.
You know what I mean?
It goes into the system now.
Right. Yeah. Like it, at that moment, you're not going to change the cop's mind. You're not going to change the outcome of that. Literally, the only thing you stand a chance to do is make it worse for yourself. So you just got to take the ticket, roll on, and then battle it later.
Comply and then complain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That's really what it is, right?
Yeah.
Prove and so your case. Yeah. There's other times like that, right? You'll have customers that don't pay you. You can't make them pay you, right? So you just got to take it for what it is and then mount your case against them, whether if that's a lien, whether if that's a lawsuit or whatever.
Putting a bag of concrete down the clean out.
Yeah, yeah.
Whatever.
I mean,
whatever.
Turning their water meter off and then filling their meter well with concrete so they can't turn it back on. Like, whatever it's going to take.
Things happen.
I don't.
Yeah.
You two are dark. Dark motherfuckers.
Been there.
We're only getting started.
I'll say this. A beer can does fit down a sewer clean out and will wreak havoc in a sewer, especially if it's an unopened beer can.
Nice.
So. I know this from experience.
I also know from experience, if you put a 2x4 down a vent through the roof of a condo building, it makes all the upper floors back up.
Yeah.
And then you're like, I was standing there going, how are all the upper floors backed up, but the bottom one isn't?
Yeah. 2x4.
That thing was down at the 90. Just
yep.
Bloop.
It was at the combo. Yep. Yep. Opened up the clean out and I saw the 2x4 sitting down. I'm like,
yeah.
Turns out the owner of the building didn't pay the HVAC company.
So they sabotaged him.
HVAC guys will fuck your shit up.
I'll be real. I have never gone back and sabotaged anybody's stuff for not paying me. Like, I joke around about it a lot, like I'd love to and everything else. But the moment I sabotage them, I'm now no better than they are. You know, yeah. And it might feel good in the short term, but if you steal $200 in service from my company, I'm not going to go, like, we were joking around it the other day or a couple of shows ago about Cold Stone Creamery.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Order $100 worth of ice cream and then walk out or something.
Well, yeah. So they called us out for service and then we came in there and gave them the price and then they didn't like the price. And so then they tried saying, well, we canceled you guys anyway. And it's like, hold on. You sure let us behind your counter and let us tinker on your shit for a little while before we gave you a price. You didn't bring up the cancellation thing until after you didn't like our price. And so they refused to pay our $89 service charge. Yeah, I joke around about how I'm half tempted to go in there and order $90 in ice cream and then just walk out and not steal it, but just leave it there on the counter and be like, well, they can't do anything with it.
Yeah.
They got to give it away now. So
I would love to say that I've never done anything like that, but then I'd just be lying.
Yeah, but you can't lie. Right.
Yeah, I can't lie. I'm not saying maybe I allegedly have shut some people's gas meters off in the middle of winter at night. I'm just saying maybe that's happened.
Yeah. Well, this next week will be a good week to do that with.
I don't know. Hey, no one owes me money right now.
Yeah.
I'm good.
Yeah.
I'm good right now.
But,
just saying.
When those situations come up, you got to recognize it. You got to take your licks in the moment, and then you got to roll on. So, we ran into all this trouble with that's Danielle's Jeep.
No, I know. I just wanted to see Dan's
face. Oh,
okay.
It's got a little rumble to it.
Yeah.
Did
you have that chili for lunch? What the fuck is going on?
Yeah.
God damn. Whole fucking podcast is vibrating.
You know, we ran into that with Danielle's Jeep getting stolen. You know, we were momentarily inconvenienced and out of money for some things, waiting the time, because we had gap insurance on it and we had an extended warranty on it. And so we turn all this stuff in. Well, we have to pay the note off ourselves and then we got to wait to get recouped from the gap insurance and the prepaid maintenance and, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And you're going to find that everywhere. You're going to find an inspector that shuts you down and you can argue with them or make it worse. And it's better to just, listen to him and do the repairs that he wants to do and then mount a case for later, right?
Yeah.
So, anytime I have to bull up to an inspector, I use past – I don't bull up to him on the first encounter.
Yeah.
I use an encounter or two or three, kind of feel him out, and then I'll use those past experiences against him if we develop a pattern, right? So like there's one city right now where I'm refusing to work in because of that, because the inspector, we had three incidents where he was being real picky on stuff. And on the fourth one, I called him out on it, and I'm like, this is bullshit. This is the fourth time you've arbitrarily turned us down for something that's not in the code book, and you're just saying, I have the power to do it if I want.
They got
to
pull that out of the jurisdictions.
Yeah. Because
it's bad.
Yeah.
In Kansas City, we have so many different inspectors for different areas.
Mm-hmm.
It's become, in some places, almost impossible to do work if you're a new guy and don't have a personal relationship built with them.
Yep.
Because you don't know what to expect.
Yeah.
And you can't make money off it if you're going back four and five fucking times.
Right.
Yeah.
And so, like, the only rule that, like, this particular inspector was about sump pumps. The only rule in the code book is that they have to be discharged a minimum of 15 feet from the property line. Well, this guy, 20, 30 feet from the property line, so you're well, outside the code requirement. Well, inside the code requirement, right? You're not anywhere close to 15.
I knew what you meant.
But if the yard has slope on it at all, he'll be like, I know we're in, over 15, but that's still going to run right out to the neighbor's property. Like, we got to do something else with it. And, well, shit, all that's going to run everybody. Well, he doesn't live in the city that he works in. He lives in a different city.
Mm.
But his sump pump discharge is less than 15 feet from a, like, I know where he lives. His sump pump discharge is less than 15 feet from a property line. And his downhill neighbor, the sump pump discharge points right at the downhill neighbor and is like aimed right at it, right? And so I got him on this fifth time. I got him to admit, like, well, we don't want to cause a nuisance to the downhill neighbor. We're out here for the betterment. Like, I called him out. I'm like, you're just being picky against me. Like, your job is for the best installation possible, not to just decline me every time you see it's our job. And he goes, oh, I don't do that. I want the best installation everywhere, and it's best to do it this way. And so I said, okay, let's go look at your house because I know where you live. Let's look at where your sump pump discharge. If you truly cared about the best installation possible, you'd lead by example and you're in violation of the code on your own house. But it passes because you don't live in the city where you're this strict. And so that time on.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
Did you go to this guy's house just to look at this?
No, I just know where he lives.
So you just happened to drive by a couple of times?
We were doing work right across the street from him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
you never know with Mitch. I want to know.
Yeah. And so the very next job that he went to, I was not present for the inspection. The program that we do these sump pumps with was present. And they show up on the job, and he's like, who was the plumber that did these? And they were like, oh, Smedley Plumbing. And
what difference does that make? He shouldn't even fucking ask that.
Before he even set foot on their property, before he left the street.
That's what I'm saying.
He tells the guys, well, this one will fail. Let's go figure out why. And then he charges into the house. So, like, he entered the house with the purpose of failing us on something.
Are they supposed to inspect inside and outside?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so he called out some arbitrary bullshit again that's not in the code book. That's just some weird rule that he wants to enforce.
Hey, let's all act surprised that Mitch pissed somebody else off.
Yeah. And so I told the program, I'm like, don't give me any more jobs in his city.
Yeah. Fuck
like,
that, dude.
There's not enough money in this program for me to come back to these jobs two and three times.
When you guys fail out here, do they have to give you the code exactly what it is?
Yeah. They recite the code reference numbers as to why and where it's failed.
Mm-hmm.
And then most inspectors won't tell you how to fix it. They'll just say you're in violation of the code here.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Maybe you got an S trap or your venting is off or, your lengths are off or something like that. And they'll just say it's improperly vented. And then you have to figure it out. And some inspectors will try to help you through that, especially if it's a gray area. Like the good inspectors will be like, look, like I typically, the good inspectors, I'll go to them and I'll be like, hey, I just want to make sure I'm doing this to make you happy.
Mm-hmm.
I just want to make sure that I'm interpreting the changes the way that you are. So I see what you did wrong, or I see what we did wrong, and I agree with you. Like, I'm wanting to fix it this way.
Does that work?
Would that make you happy?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And most inspectors like that. And this douche is like, well, I don't know. We'll just have to do it that way and see. Like, listen here, asshole.
It's because you've done pissed him off.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I haven't liked this guy for years. I mean, not just my company, but previous companies that I've managed and everything else. The guy's just a jerk.
To get back to what we were kind of talking about before, I don't want to tell you what to do, but like hindsight being 2020, that was probably one of those times to just fucking eat it and say F it, because all you did was now you've got to deal with this guy and you're not doing work in that guy's area.
Well,
right.
Yeah, but I wasn't going to do work. I wasn't going to do work in that guy's area anyway, just because it's not profitable now.
That's what I mean. You have to stand on your principles, and you have to. But those are the situations we're talking about.
Yeah.
Right? Like some of the guys in Tradewinds have called me and been like, this builder, I'm so mad. I get this and that and blah, blah. And they just want to can them and say, screw it.
Yeah.
No, dude, eat it.
Yeah.
Upcharge a little bit and either price yourself out or make so much money it's worth dealing with.
Right. Like, well, and in this case, I can't change the, it's a government contract, so I can't change the value of the.
No, you can't.
The repairs, right? So I can't charge enough for it to make it work or worthwhile.
Is he the only inspector in that area?
He's the only inspector for this program in city.
Which city is it?
Prairie Village.
Prairie Village.
Yep.
Fuck Prairie Village.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I actually like Prairie Village.
Cool city.
I've done a
shitty
ton,
inspector.
I have done a ton of change outs in that area and never pulled permits, so
yeah.
Fuck them.
Yeah. I mean, we've done a boatload of work in their city, and like I say, if they would enforce the code book for how it's written, it'd be different. But they're holding out this subject to administrative authority piece of the code book to where they can basically enforce things how they want.
Yeah.
Can you go over his head?
We can. It involves a lot of extra work, and that's a move the program's considering doing, but they don't want to pull that card unless they absolutely have to. Because technically, this work's being funded by the county.
Mm-hmm.
So, yes, he's declining me, but he's also declining the county. And so, it gets a little dicey there. So it's just a matter of if he's being a stick in the mud to all the contractors in the program, then the program would definitely do that. I think he's just being a stick in the mud to me.
Yeah.
So
they're just giving it to someone else.
You pissed him off and you're on his radar.
Yeah. So, which I don't mind because I know where the program's going. I know all the zip codes and the path that it's going, and they won't be in this city long. And there's not a lot of work to be had in this city, to be honest with you. So. They got to get to some other parts of town where there's going to be a lot of work to be had. So we're doing two jobs right now in a different city for the same program. So
stick in the mud.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just,
and some inspectors, I just had an issue with an inspector too, back home in one of the suburbs, and some inspectors just, they think, do you have to have a special license above plumbing to be a plumbing inspector?
It's just master plumbing with gas. Oh, to be a plumbing
inspector.
You don't even need a master's license to be a plumbing inspector.
Oh, that's
there's a course that you have to.
It's so stupid, dude. It's so dumb.
There's a course that you have to do to be an inspector, but you don't need a master plumber, master mechanical, master electric, you know, all those things. You just have to know the code book really well.
So you could be fresh out of fresh journeyman, get your license, and then become a plumbing inspector, and not even have the time in to get your master.
You don't even need to be a journeyman.
Oh,
you don't even have to do anything related to plumbing to be
you don't even have to have a plumbing license.
They're a building inspector.
Oh,
so the same guy's inspecting plumbing, HVAC, electrical, all the things.
And it depends on the cities. So Grain Valley was looking for an inspector. This has been 4 years ago. They were looking for an inspector. They wanted, you had to have your, it was HVAC, you had to have your master's, and you had to have 4 years of college to get the job.
Yeah.
No one... Because I applied for it. I was like, this could be fun. Just do it on the side.
Yep.
You know, no big deal. You have to have 4 years ago. I was like, no one will go to 4 years of college.
To be a city inspector.
To be an inspector.
No, and then get out of college and then get their master's and be in the field for 4 years.
Yeah.
To have a job that pays $45,000. I was like, what? What fucking sense does that make?
Yeah.
And finally, after like 10 months, no, it was longer than that because the guy went back to Arizona. I think it was 15 months. They finally were like, okay, you have to either have your master's or have 5 years in a trade. I think it was 5 or 6 years in the trade.
Yeah.
No college degree.
Yeah.
It made no sense.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you guys doing? They're just making up fucking rules as they go.
Yeah. Truth be told, plumbing contractors and HVAC contractors would probably make some of the better inspectors. Just because, and that's not being partial to plumbing or HVAC. Plumbing and HVAC messes with framing. They mess with roofing. They mess with foundations. Like, they mess with enough other parts of the trade that they would make pretty well-rounded inspectors.
I think a plumber would probably make the best, especially if they were a new construction plumber.
Yeah.
I mean, they're in there putting in utilities. They're seeing the basement before the flat work's down.
Yeah.
You know, all of that stuff. Literally, I mean, you know this. When you're in that field for 5 years, you see it all.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You see it all.
You take like an electrician, and again, I'm not knocking electricians. It's just like they don't even see the building until the walls are up, unless it's a slab and then they're running a bunch of conduit under slab. But
yeah, maybe a commercial electrician. Maybe. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's, I mean, it's just a different ball game. But
I will say this, there needs to be some kind of standard, either statewide. You know, a group of states, like the southern states go by this.
Yeah.
Northern states go, like we've got to come to some kind of regularity in
state
all
by
of
state
those
is
industries.
Fine. I think state by state. So
I think
Illinois,
state by state would be the best way to do it. If you had like a state masters that applied to any city you wanted to work in, and then you just needed a business license in that city, that would be cool.
And then the inspections all went off of that. Yeah. We still, like we would have an issue here because you do a lot of work in Kansas.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean?
But that's still, that's only two different jurisdictions. You'd have Missouri jurisdiction and Kansas.
Instead of the 15 that we have
instead
now.
Of, well, I think we have 37 licenses.
Yeah.
Because technically we work in 37 different cities.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Some of them are overlapping. Like Kansas City and North Kansas City. Technically, if you're licensed in Kansas City, you're not licensed in North Kansas City.
Really?
Yeah, like you have to get a license in North KC.
Yeah, it's dumb.
But all the different cities around here, and then like there's a county, Johnson County. We got to be licensed in Johnson County, you know. So, yeah, it's a lot. Which it's a lot to stay up with on all the licensing and everything else. But that just is what it is. The biggest challenge is.
Are you tired of complex and high credit card processing fees? The Void Podcast has negotiated exclusive rates for the Void listeners. This program's tailored for trade businesses like yours. And if you're using House Call Pro, switch and you can expect to save $80 for every 10,000 you process per month. Don't let high processing fees drain your profits. Visit empowerpayments.com/the void or call us at 913-423-1265 now and unlock your savings.
The Grain Valley inspector wants it done a certain way. The Blue Springs inspector just 2 miles away wants
this
it done
exactly
differently.
This is exactly how Illinois used to be.
Yeah.
It was every suburb. You would go into one suburb and Waste and Vent was all copper. And then you cross the street, you're in another suburb and they want cast iron.
Yeah.
Cross another street, they want PVC.
Yeah.
And then in 2017-ish, they pulled everyone back and they said, we're all, with the exception of the city of Chicago, everyone goes under this code. If there's any amendments,
yep.
Then, you know, yeah. So it's now it's, if we have a bigger job or if we're doing, you know, we just did a dig up and I called the guy, hey, call the inspector. You want PVC or SDR? And he goes, is the water in the same ditch? And I go, yeah. He goes, use PVC. Okay. No problem.
Yeah.
So they're both code.
At least you got a freaking response.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You do it in SDR it was and then you roll back and they're like, oh, we'd like to see that in PVC. Man, what the?
Yeah.
Right.
God damn, mother, you know?
Yeah. We run into that too sometimes on sewers where let's say it's just a flat sewer. It comes out of the house at a certain point. It ties into the city at a certain point, and the sewer's flatter than we would like it to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And the inspector's like, you got to fix that. Well, what do you want me to do? Raise the house?
Yeah.
I can't.
Yeah.
What do you want me to do? Lower the city main? I can't do that either.
You want me to put a sewage eject pump in and then repipe their whole house. And then you're going to tell me I'm going to go in there and tell them this is going to be $20,000
more. Right.
Because this potbelly little motherfucker out here with the glasses says that it's got, doesn't have enough fall.
Yeah.
Even though this house has been here for 67 years. Is that what you want me to do?
Yeah. And that's, I mean, you run into that from time to time.
I know.
So
I'd make him go in there with me. I'd be like, if he said yeah and was the smartest, be like, okay, we're going in here. We're going to talk to these people.
Let's go sell it to her.
We're going
to
see how much you fucking sweat, you little porker.
Yeah.
But that's, you know what? So that's why I wouldn't want someone that strictly does new construction to be a plumbing inspector, because you've got book smart and street smart.
Yeah.
And that would probably be the new construction guy. Ah, the code book's set. And it's like, listen, come here.
Like,
Let's talk.
We're going to go down in the basement.
Yeah.
And we're going to see who comes out.
Yeah.
How would you like to do that?
I had a plumbing inspector come in. He was a plumbing and building inspector. So in Illinois, you can be a plumbing inspector and a building inspector, but you can't be a building inspector and then get your plumbing.
Okay.
You have to be a plumber first. We don't have master plumbers. You're just a journeyman. And then after, I believe it's 5 years, you can take the test and get your inspector's license. Well, this guy came in, failed a bunch of stuff. it was like four times. He would walk in and just, oh, and it's not even plumbing stuff.
Yeah.
And the homeowner took four separate days off of work. And then the fourth time I was in there, the guy was inspecting the work we did. And it's the first time I've ever seen a homeowner almost beat the snot out of and he ended up going to the village hall and then got a text message from the mayor of that village and said, don't worry about it. And it was the guy failed him. The painter pulled the banister off the wall and he failed him because the banister wasn't, he was in there to inspect my plumbing, but he goes, oh, you failed because the banister's off the wall.
Jeez.
And the homeowner was
livid.
Rightfully so livid. Yeah. So,
jeez. Well, another thing I wanted to talk about today.
Are we going to talk about Dan, or are we just going to be like, "Hey, this is Dan." Yeah.
You guys invited me on this.
He's
cold ass day,
dude from Chicago.
Cold ass day.
Yeah, it's getting ready to get some seriously cold temperatures here in KC. So you're going to have a fun drive home tomorrow.
Yeah.
He'll be fine. He may go tonight. He's talking about staying here with you tonight.
Yeah.
I can't decide if I want to like warn him or just wait and see the aftermath.
Well, if you hear the mating call for the North American blue whale in the middle of the night, just mind your business.
If I hear it from my house, there's a real problem going on. That's not good, Dan.
You just see a ripped extension cord from my diesel.
Yeah.
Driveway.
<He's> just gone. No, I wanted to talk about hiring your first employee. That's probably one of the most intimidating parts of going into business for yourself and then growing your business is that first employee and all of the things that go around with that. And so rather than me preaching it to everybody or David preaching it to everybody, I wanted to involve Dan in that because he's done that in the last year and a half. And so... wanted to talk about the struggles and the trials and tribulations and everything that come with that. So, Dan, what's the first employee that you hired? What was their role?
First employee I hired. So I did it wrong. I did it completely against the way you and Dave preach, I guess. And I hired a green apprentice. And...
Stay on your mic, buddy. I love you.
What's that?
I said, stay on your mic.
Yeah. So,
I mean, crazy. I don't know if we're going to be able to hear you.
All right. So definitely stay with or hire someone. So I hired a very green apprentice and it's a struggle. And the reason I kept him, and he's still with me today. He's in his own van now. He's very hungry to learn, very hungry to work. One phrase that I've learned in the last month or so has been will over skill, and this kid 100% has it.
Yeah,
kid, he's 35.
he's
so
a kid.
He's 35. You know, whatever.
He's younger than you.
Yeah, he's younger than me. So he's starting to get gray hair too. Don't tell him I said that. But anyways,
I wonder where he's getting it, Dan.
It's will over skill. The kid, you know, he'll Google stuff, he'll look stuff up. You know, he wants to take the reins. He wants to get in there and learn. Hindsight being 2020, 100% you should, when you, like you guys preach, when you are missing calls because you cannot get to them on a steady basis, hire a journeyman, someone that is experienced.
Yeah, you got to hire someone that can roll out and immediately start turning wrenches and bringing in revenue.
That's the key.
What we preach to anyone for their first hire. There is nothing wrong with hiring green guys and training them. There's not. I don't want to be a stick in the mud, but they can't be first. You've got to double your revenue before, even triple your revenue before you go down that path and think you're going to train the next generation. It's just part of it.
Now, where this doesn't quite apply as rigidly is going to be like if you do new construction work. And you're on the job all day long and extra green help on the job is actually helping move the event forward and get it done faster, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you may be doing, like I'll just say for how I do it in plumbing, whenever I had a newer guy with me, I stay on the ladder measuring, and all he does is cut and hand me stuff. Cut me a piece of pipe 6 inches. Hand me a 90. Hand me a 45. Cut me a piece of pipe 4 inches, right? And so that saves you tremendous amounts of time from climbing down, making the cut, climbing back up, and all of that stuff. So there is where a green guy can help. In service, in in-home service, a green guy, it's very difficult to make work financially just because you bring him on. Now you have to have work comp. You don't need work comp until you have one employee.
Mm-hmm.
The moment you have an employee, now you need work comp.
Yeah.
So now, like, things are already getting stacked against you. Your vehicle insurance goes up because now you have more employees.
Yep.
Everything starts moving. Your general insurance costs go up because now you have employees. All these costs start rising, and then you have his labor or her labor, whatever. Yeah. You have their labor. And if you don't have a way to bring in more money to offset all those extra costs, you're going to struggle hard. So for service, we always recommend hiring an experienced guy that can hit the ground running and add to profit right out of the gate. So what was your next hire that you made after hiring somebody from the Greenhorn for the field?
CSR.
Yeah.
Hired a CSR. That went well. That got my feet, you know, dipped into the pool of training someone to answer the phones. How do I want them to do it? Make up some of those SOPs, get that rolling. She was pregnant at the time. So she worked with me until the baby came, and then she decided she didn't want to come back. And it's been a few months looking for someone, and I actually just hired someone else new. So she's rocking and rolling right now.
Now, does she just take your phones during the day from her house?
Yes. Have her. Yep. She has a laptop set up and she's got all the information she needs, and we communicate back and forth, and she answers the phone through we have a VoIP.
Okay. I'm asking you all these for people that are listening. What did you provide the laptop?
I did.
You provided all of that. Everything that she needs, you provided. Yep. And then said you work from home. What do you pay her?
He might not want to disclose that on the podcast.
Yeah. You know what? I will say, so here, my first one that I hired, I paid her $18 and I went higher on this one because she came to me with a lot of, she showed me a lot of, I guess you could say she showed me her resume, and then we started talking about things that
she's
could do.
She's not just some mom wanting to answer phones.
Right.
She's actually a legitimate professional.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. So she's brought a lot to the table, and we now have a plan. We're going to talk again in August to even bring her on board. She's not full time, but we're talking about the plan is in August to bring her on full time, and then to take on even more responsibility.
What's her role now? I know answering phones is obvious. What
so,
else does she
so
do?
So right now
you?
it's post on social media, answer okay. phones, look around for chambers for us to get into.
Yep.
Any networking events coming up.
Okay.
Parades that are coming up.
She kind of organizes, categorizes that stuff, and then mm-hmm. gets your kind of foot in the door.
Yep.
With those things. And
yep.
then Dan decides, okay, yeah, that's good. We're going to do that. We're not going to do this. We're
yep.
going to, I mean, how much time does that save you?
Oh, it's a ton of time because I'm out running calls.
Yeah.
And or helping the guys out doing what they're doing, because I have two guys in vans, and I'm, you know, putting out fires with them, helping them out, figuring things out for them. So she's taking care of that other stuff. So that's helping me. So now I don't have to do it at 5-6 o'clock at night when I get
yeah.
home. I got some family time wrapped up into it.
Yeah.
So right there, it's worth it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's why I ask, because people don't realize, you know, I don't want to hire someone that's $14, $15 an hour. I can't afford that. I can't afford it. You can't afford not to do it sometimes.
Right.
Because it frees up so much of your time that you can produce more money to pay for that person. Not to mention,
yep.
like you just said, when it's 5 and 6 o'clock at night, you're not sitting at home in front of QuickBooks
right.
wanting to, you know,
yeah.
carve your eyeballs out.
Well, and there's a lot of people that don't have their pricing quite right to where they have to run 6 calls a day themselves without paying somebody else labor.
Yeah.
Paying somebody else's labor. They have to run 6 calls a day themselves just to break even or become profitable. And that's a problem.
That's a lot of calls.
Right. Like, you should be able to be profitable at 3 calls a day. And if you have 6 calls to run, like, you should be hiring somebody, and then they run 3 and you run 3.
Mm-hmm.
And if your pricing is right, that should work correctly every time.
Yeah, that employee should be making enough money on 3 calls a day.
Yeah.
And,
you know,
and we talked about this today too. If you're running 6 calls a day, you're not giving all 6 of those customers due diligence.
Yeah.
To,
no,
you know,
you're trying
to
get done and move on to the next call because you've got to knock mm-hmm. them out and you got people waiting on you.
Get in, get yep. off, get out. That's, I mean,
I know. I just
that's pretty much what it is. It's wham
is.
Bam, thank you, ma'am.
Yeah, when you get HVAC guys are bad about this. Like, this is how I would be. As a one-man show in the summertime, or that first and second real cold snap,
mm-hmm.
it's literally, I'm not trying to sell them anything, because I have so many to get to.
Yeah.
And it's like, if I ran half of these calls and I sold one on a changeout, I would make more money.
Yeah.
But when your focus is split and you're trying to make people happy, it's just impossible to, like Dan said, give them that due diligence.
So I've had the luxury of being able to burn through calls a little bit in my career, and that is through our Family First program, where the most calls I've ever run in a day is 10 plumbing calls. And these are calls,
it's
charity, right? It's free, so there's nothing to sell them. And it literally is
it's
get in there and make the repair as fast as you can so that you can serve more people. This is on our free day, right?
Yeah.
And for those that don't know, we dedicate the first day of every month to taking care of plumbing repairs for people in the community that can't afford it. And we do those repairs free of charge, right? And so when that's the setup, you can get in there and turn and burn, because there's no conversation. Like you still want to, you don't want to be impersonal. You're still going to chat with them and everything else, but you don't have to have all of the know, like, and trust type conversations that you would with somebody that you're trying to foster.
Yeah.
Know, like, and trust so that they buy from you.
All right, so you've newly started your company and you're trying to pinch pennies. However, you don't realize the biggest thing that's hurting you right now is not gathering all of your information in a one spot and making it super efficient for you to use. So the answer is Field Pulse. It gets you off of paper tickets. It gets you off of all of that crazy office work at the end of the day and reconciling all that stuff. And it lets you organize everything with ease. It puts it all into the computer. It actually puts it all into the cloud. So it's not even putting it on your computer. And it lets you organize your customers. It lets you organize all of your service calls. Heck, it'll even route you to your service call. And the best part is, even after all of that, you'll probably realize about a 100% growth in your business just in the first year of using Field Pulse. So if you'd like to check out Field Pulse and see what great looks like, click on the link in the description of this show.
It's almost like you don't want to take their dignity away by walking in and be like, oh, I'm just going to fix this real quick and get out of here.
Right.
You
still want to give them a good repair.
Yeah.
But there's nothing to sell them.
Right.
I don't have to have a conversation with them about what I'd like to do.
Right. Yeah.
I just get in there, I see what's wrong, and I say, I'm going to fix this. And they're going to be like, thank you.
Yeah.
Done. Right. So I mean, yes, 10 calls a day can be ran, but I couldn't have done that and charged for that because I was going so quick that people would have, a couple $100 and you were only here 45 minutes. Like, that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And they would have just flipped out at that.
Yeah.
So, slowing the pace of things down. So this morning you got to see how quick and simple my meeting is with my virtual professional. I have a virtual professional that does all the clerical work in our company. All of our KPIs, our key performance indicators, she tracks all that. All of our daily numbers and our forecasting for the month. We recap forecast for the month every day. And what I mean by forecasting is we'll be one day into the month and we have a forecast for, okay, if every day is like this one, this is where we're going to be for the month. And then day two of the month, we take our total hours, total dollars, total everything. And then we divide it by 2 days in the month and we say, okay, multiply this by the number of days in the month and if we keep this pace up, this is where we're looking, right? And we do this every single day. And we do it for a reason, because about the time you get a third of the way into the month, most months have 20 to 23 business days in them. Well, all months have 20 to 23 business days. You get to about day 10, business day number 10, business day number 8, somewhere right in there. And you can really start to forecast where you're going to be for the whole month. And so it allows you to pre-spend money or be preemptive about being conservative on your money. So like you saw my pacing sheet this morning, we're actually pacing for the worst month this month that we've had in over 24 months.
I thought you said this week turned around.
I'm hoping this week turns around with this cold snap.
Yeah.
But
we all are.
Yeah. But I only know that because we track and pace this every day. Right. And here we are halfway through the month and, it's not looking good. So our pace can really kind of only go up from here. But there's a lot of guys that don't even look at numbers until 2 weeks after the month's over. And here,
it's
the month's
too late.
Yeah, here the month's not even over for 2 weeks, and we know where we're going to finish this month, as long as everything stays relatively consistent. We know about where we're going to finish. And so that tells us right there, like, oh, we're going to finish way low. We need to get conservative. We need to not pay bills now that we would normally pay in order to make sure that we've got the cash flow where we need to.
Yeah.
Right? And when I say not pay bills, we're a company that always pays bills. But we pay our parts bill like 2 to 4 times a month.
Mm-hmm.
And so when things are forecasting low, I give the instruction to Danielle, like, spending freeze. That's all I got to tell her. And she knows, okay, don't pay the parts bill until we have to.
Yeah.
Don't pay the fuel bill until we have to. You know, don't preemptively pay all of these things that we normally pay ahead of time just because we're thinking about it and we have the time to do it. It's like, no, this is a month where we got to get conservative. And it comes and goes. You know, there's some months where we lose $10,000. There's other months where we gain $40,000. It just depends on the month.
But it's so important. People, I feel like, and I'm not bashing the Tradewinds guys, but I feel like one of all of their biggest struggles as a collective is not tracking things on a daily basis and
yep.
not knowing how much money they're spending every month.
Yeah.
Until the month, like you said, is 2 weeks past or
yeah.
the quarter's 2 weeks past. That's too late.
Well, there's
it's hard to know, do I need to spend more money in marketing to get more calls if you're not tracking your daily call log?
Right.
Like it's so easy for people to feel like they're busy, but not understand that they're extremely dead compared to last month.
Yeah.
That's the problem. Man, we get this a lot. I feel like last month I was super busy and then I looked back and I made $12,000 or I did 12 grand or
yeah.
I did 15 grand. And normally they're at $30,000 months.
Yep.
You know that feeling process, quote unquote, is off. Like you were half mm-hmm. of what you normally are, but you somehow felt busy.
Yep.
Why?
Yeah, busy.
Why?
The goal is not to be busy. The goal is to be productive and profitable,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
So if anything, the goal is to not be busy, right? It's not that the goal is to be busy. Like if anything, the goal is to be as least busy as possible while maintaining productivity and profitability.
Yeah, but the why is so important. Why? Did we not run enough calls?
Right.
Did we not sell enough on the calls we had? We actually had the calls coming in that we normally have.
Yeah.
Why?
Yep.
Are we down? And the only way to know why is to track that shit on
yeah.
a daily fucking basis.
Yeah, we track, you know, based off of our schedule, based off of how many guys are working today, that tells us how many calls we should have ran today, right? And we track it kind of a couple ways. Like, we have scheduled days because guys have their PTO requests in. So if I know I'm going to have a guy off all week next week, I'll change my tracking sheet to reflect we're down a staff member all week. So now my tracking sheet is going to understand and the target revenue number is going to go down because we're down a guy, you know? And if a guy on average brings in $10,000 a month in revenue, well, then it's foolish to think that I'm going to make that up somehow, right?
Yeah.
And so we have target numbers, but then we have goal numbers. And target numbers are, if the math lines up like it should, here's where you should land. A goal number would be like if everybody does phenomenal. Like,
yeah.
You know? And so... you know, we try to convert our conversion goal is 67% to 70% is where we want, like when we run a service call, I want to make a sale on 67% to 70% of those. I want my average ticket to be somewhere between $1,250 and $1,500. I want my guys to run an average of 2.25 calls a day, 2.25 to 2.5 calls a day. All of those things. And so if my guys are running 4 calls a day and we're still not making money, the calls are definitely there.
Yeah.
But that means their average ticket and their conversion is not great.
Yeah.
And when you send a guy on 8 calls in a day, I guarantee you his average ticket's going to be horrible because
yeah.
he's not in the house long enough to make money.
Yeah, he's trying to get on down the road to the next call.
Yeah.
It just
yeah.
is what it is.
You
know, you only have so much time.
Dan, who does your numbers tracking, numbers crunching, bookkeeping, all of that kind of stuff?
So I do it, and one of the reasons why I came out here this weekend is because I wanted to see how you did it, because I don't do it nearly to the extent, like I have a very loose, hey, this is
mm-hmm.
kind of what we're doing, like I think I'm doing this right.
Yep.
And again, it's I'm replicating kind of what you're doing.
Yep.
I'm going to start doing this now, and then I'll eventually pass it off and
yeah.
just keep an eye on it.
Yeah,
I've thought about getting the virtual professional, talked about it. Maybe I'll get there. I don't know. I'm on the fence with it still.
Yeah, it's a like.
And you may be not be there work wise yet either.
Yeah, right.
And like, and once you start tracking that stuff on a daily basis, and if it takes you 2 hours at night, you're gonna be like, okay, yeah, I gotta get it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the CSR thing at that point. It's like, okay. Or if your CSR can do it.
Yeah. And you know what? To backtrack a little bit, we were talking about how a lot of guys don't track it in TradeWinds. And I'll admit, I'm not tracking it.
And I'm not bashing the guys in TradeWinds, but it's my job to tell them that they're fucking up. So right. The guys that are in TradeWinds
sure.
Listen to the podcast. Actually, my Monday Motivational was all about this today. But put the fucking work in.
Right.
So like, but I think a lot of it we get into TradeWinds because I'll admit, like I had no, the way I look back at how I ran my business the first 2 years and it was a shit show for, I didn't know what I didn't know. I didn't know what I didn't know to run a business. Yeah. And I think a lot of us get into it and we're like, oh, I'm a great fucking plumber. I'm going to be great at it. And yeah, we're all great plumbers, but we're not great business owners. So I think, and especially once I got into TradeWinds, right when you guys started it up, it was, I need to have someone else. I need to let my first employee know how I want to run things, know how I want the van, know how I want them to do things. How do I want the phone to be answered? Yeah. How do I, right. You know, and I went through a hiccups with software and this, that, and the other. And so now that that's all straightened out, now I'm like, okay, I'm on the verge of that next level and we need to pop. But I think tracking my numbers super close is my next step.
Yeah.
Tracking your numbers, whether you're doing it, your CSR does it, whether a virtual assistant does it, allows you to really know, do I have the funds? I shouldn't say funds. Do I have the calls coming in where if we convert those calls, am I going to make enough money to move to the next level?
Yeah.
Or it lets you know I have X amount of dollars coming in, and to reach those dollars, I had to have this many calls. And if I want to hire somebody, now I have to get 20 calls instead of 15 or 25 a day instead of 20. You know what I mean? And then, okay, if I can get those calls, then I know I can hire someone and be safe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's just, it's one of the worst parts of business is the mundane, boring paperwork. Mitch thrives on it because he's a fucking lunatic and he loves the numbers. Like he does. He loves it.
Nerd.
He's ate up with it.
Yeah.
To be honest, when it comes to money and like my personal finances and stuff, I'm the same way. I love to calculate risk on, you know, what I'm investing in and this and that. It's just different. You know what I mean? If you're not naturally that way and you don't get off on seeing those progresses, it is a struggle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have to make yourself do it, and it's tough.
Yeah.
You know, but that's what separates the guys that will always be a one-man show or have two employees versus the guys that will have five or six employees and be turning $2 million.
Yep.
You know, it's just what it takes to get to the next level.
So like one of the things that I track is,
hope I didn't get too far in the weeds there.
No, you're good. So one of the things that I track is, I call it a marketing analysis report. And so we track all the different places that our leads come from, and we track how many jobs we get from those. And we compare that to how many jobs we ran in that period. And so now we have like that lead source is accounting for a certain percentage of our jobs, right? And then we same lead source, now we track it revenue wise. And so so like let me just give you an example. In quarter one of last year, Google LSA was 5% of our jobs and it was 5% of our revenue.
Equal ROI, okay.
Yeah. Facebook referrals. So people that were like customers that came to us being recommended to us on Facebook groups or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
They were 20% of our jobs and 13% of our revenue. Okay. And anytime the revenue percentage is lower than the job percentage, that's an inferior job.
Yeah.
Right. So, for instance, the sump pump program that we do was only 5% of the numbers of jobs, but it was 14% of our revenue because those are higher paying jobs.
Yeah.
You know, we're breaking up people's floors and everything else. Word of mouth was 43% of our jobs and 42% of our revenue. So very even keel, right?
Yeah.
But then once I know all those advertising, you know, I can take my total advertising spend and I can divide it amongst the total leads that we ran that period and everything else. And I come up with a cost per lead. Q1 of last year, our cost per lead was $38. Okay.
Yeah.
Q2 of last year, our cost per lead jumped to $50. Q3.
I know all these outcomes. It only gets worse.
Yeah, Q3, it jumps to $56. Yeah. And we actually have some, we don't have Q4s done because there's something wrong in our books to give us the right numbers that we're looking for. So we don't have a cost per lead for Q4, but I know for a fact it's higher than it was in all three of the other ones because I know how much money we spent and I know how many leads we got. I just can't break it down the rest of the way yet. But, you know, so that was a dynamic that changed for us throughout the year where it feels like business is harder as the year went on. Well, now we have the data to say, yeah, business is harder. I could get a new customer for $38.
Yeah. And Q1, that it was fucking 25. I know you don't probably can't go back that far, but like the summer,
I
bet it was $20, $25.
I don't have it on this sheet. Let me go back to old marketing returns and see what we got there.
Dan, do you know what your cost per new customer acquisition is?
Nope.
I knew the answer.
by the twinkle in your eye, I knew that you knew.
I don't know what I don't know. God damn it.
It doesn't look like we have that broke. Oh, yeah, here we go. So Q1 through 3 in 2022.
That would have been 23, but okay, go ahead.
No, 2022. Q1 through 3, our cost per lead was $41. We tracked it a little bit differently. These sheets look different. So,
Last year was 24. The year before would have been 23.
I know.
2 years back.
Yeah, I'm saying the way back to 22, it was $41 a lead. Damn. So we're way over that because we're 50 and 55 now. And we were 38 in Q1 of last year. So
it was consistent for about 3 years. And then
it was consistent. And then all of a sudden, cost per lead just started climbing. Google LSA costs started going up.
You've talked about the quality of leads coming from Google LSA. Yeah.
Right. But all of that, like, how do you know the quality of the lead sucks? You can't. Nobody's gonna give you any weight or any merit if you say, well, it feels like these leads suck. No, you have to look at it and you say, okay, a year ago we got 10 Google LSA leads and it resulted in $20,000 in revenue. And now we get 10 Google LSA leads and it results in $2,000 in revenue. Okay, so now we have the data to say these leads suck, right? If you're ever operating your business off of I feel like, that's not the position to be in. The feelings should drive you to the direction to look for the evidence. The evidence tells you how to navigate your business, right? And so I feel like cost per lead is climbing through the roof and it's hard to keep up with. Until we run these reports, I don't know, right? And so now the reports prove it, and it's like, okay, now I know cost per lead skyrocketing. That's why we're struggling. Now I clearly understand the problem. Now I can clearly articulate a solution. But if it just feels like cost per lead is climbing, how do you fix that? Do you change your feelings?
Right.
Well, I just, you know, smoke some weed. Now I feel better about my cost per lead. And now it's not, I'm good with it. Like, that doesn't fix business.
Fucking potheads.
You know what I mean? Like, you can't change your feelings. In facts, don't care about feelings. So you just got to operate business off the facts.
Bunch of sinners around here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Devil's lettuce.
We're in the fucking devil's lettuce.
So on the way down, Dan was talking about his drive down here. And he was like, gun shop?
Yeah.
He told me
there's stores that sell guns like just out in the open because he's from Illinois and guns are not allowed there. Yeah.
And he says, I didn't see
welcome to
Missouri sign. But then I look up and I was like, oh, a gun store.
Yeah.
5 seconds later, hey, look, a gun store.
Oh, look, a weed shop.
Hey, another gun store.
Oh, no, there's plenty of weed shops in Illinois.
Oh, okay.
Plenty of.
You got that?
Yeah.
Oh, fuck, there's another gun store.
Yeah.
Are you going to try to get something before you go home?
Well, you can't take it home.
Why not?
They're not allowed in Illinois.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, they are.
Oh, you're allowed to have them?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're allowed to have them.
Wait, guns or?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You just can't buy them in Illinois.
No, and then you got to register them if, depending on what they are. You're supposed to register them.
You only have to register the ones they know about.
Do you want me to buy you a couple while you're here and give it to you as gifts?
Sure. I still have to register them.
I bought you a couple and then just loaned them for you to use for a while?
It's a possibility.
I'm happy to do it. Yeah. I'm happy to go to the gun store.
What was the store we drove past today for lunch? It was like pawn gun
Oh, yeah.
Cash loans.
Did you not take him in there?
No.
First off, Blue Springs only has one pawn shop, but that pawn shop... Dude, they got guns out the ass.
Yeah, it's called Patriot Pawn.
Yeah.
And it's like payday loans.
They sell silver
pawn
and gold.
Pawn shop. Silver, gold, guns.
First off, I've bought two guns from there because, you know, I like collecting old shotguns.
Uh-huh.
Like, they aren't worth a lot of money, but 70s and 80s, I love the nostalgia, right? Dude, you can go in there and get some really nice guns for like $400 that are normally like $850.
Yeah.
Because it's just some hobo kid that stole his grandpa's gun to get some meth. And he went in there and he fucking pawned it, and now it's in my collection. It's better off in my collection because I take immaculate care of them.
Right,
get them all cleaned up, and then they sit there on the shelf for history to be preserved. So
next time I come out here, we're gonna go shooting.
Yeah,
do we shoot this afternoon? Pew.
We got gun ranges here in town, so we're good there.
Let's. I know we've got to maybe wrap up the show here pretty quick. Do you want to tell us a little bit about your story? Do you want to, this is not a Tradewinds commercial. Do you want to give any Tradewinds hype? Goods, bads?
Yeah, you know what? Tradewinds is so Mitch and I were messaging back and forth.
Dan has been in the group. Let me just say this. He was, I think, our third or fourth member.
Okay. Yeah, I knew I was.
One
I
of
was
the original early. Five, for sure.
Yeah. I didn't know. So I started my business. I was working in the field. I was a foreman at a company, and things just weren't working out too well. And it was right before COVID hit, and I wanted to open up my own shop for years, and things didn't work out. I'm going to talk about it at the event. So things didn't work out. So I cannonballed into business ownership, entrepreneurship, whatever you want to call it. And like I said, that first year was. Looking, hindsight being 2020, was horrific. I didn't know what I was doing. Second year, and it was COVID, and I was a fresh company. And I know a lot of people say that they were super busy that year. And I was kind of busy, but business-wise, it was all word of mouth.
Yeah.
So business-wise, I had no incoming work business-wise, like fresh business-wise. And then second year, I got a little better. And then I think in my second year, you guys started up Tradewinds, and it was phenomenal. Just... I was doing the one-to-ones with you guys or two-to-ones with you guys, and it was drinking from the fire hose of running a plumbing business is the only way I can describe it. And it was like,
and
if you don't want to grow, if you don't implement, you're not going to grow. And it's huge. Like, you just have to start implementing and knowing what you want and running with it. Pick a subject and run with it.
Yeah.
Once you feel comfortable there or it's that area's gotten better, shift over, pick something else, with it.
You hit on something that I think a lot of people miss, and that is you have to know what you want. There's a lot of guys who say they want to grow because they think that's what the person wants to hear, right? If you don't want to grow, own it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, know that you don't want to grow.
Say, I'm going to be on my own.
I want to be on my
cash.
Own, and I'm going to stack paper and not have to deal with employee headaches. That's fine, right? But you have to know that, and you have to be convicted of that.
You have to commit to whatever you choose.
Yeah.
If you decide you're going to do that, commit to it. If you decide that you want to grow and have employees, commit to it.
Yeah.
Don't wishy-washy back and forth of, well, I don't know. Oh, I'm busy. Maybe I'll hire some. That is an end to nowhere.
Yeah. I knew for me, like for me, it was a race to get to 3 trucks on the road because – like the numbers didn't work out for me until 3 trucks.
And your vision pushed you
there. And my vision is what got me there, right?
Yeah.
And you're going to, like, in a world of opinions, there's everyone else's opinion. They're going to have opinions about you. The guy that grows his business wildly quick gets criticism for being reckless, right? The guy that grows his business wildly.
Lucky.
Yeah. Or the guy that grows his business wildly slow gets criticism for being lazy and not wanting it, right? Like, they're always going to judge you. So your vision has to be strong enough to overcome the criticism that will come. You will be criticized no matter what you do.
Yeah.
Right? That's human nature, is to criticize other people's actions. That's just what they do. Like the short video that we dropped about my wife's car getting stolen. You would be amazed how much criticism we get in the comments on that video. And it's like, hold on. The purpose of the video is to highlight – a police department that doesn't want to do shit.
Yeah.
And there's these people that are like, you're lucky enough to have a car that nice, and you're lucky enough to afford full coverage insurance. If your insurance,
insurance
is going to
pay for it,
why do you even care to recover it? And it's like, hold on, you're criticizing me for taking pride in a vehicle that I paid for.
Right.
You know what I mean?
You take so much pride. That's what's crazy is it took that much pride to get you to a place where you could afford that vehicle at all.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's the same thing.
Yeah. And so like you'll get, if you're wealthy, you'll get criticized for driving nice cars.
Mm-hmm.
You'll get criticized for driving shitty cars. We were just talking about it at lunch today. Bryson DeChambeau, the PGA golfer.
Yep.
He just sold, like, he had like an O2 Suburban that he finally got rid of.
Man, and if I had that much money, I'd be driving this.
Right. It worked for him, and he liked it, but yet he still gets criticism for choosing to drive a 20-year-old SUV.
Dude,
you know?
People say, I'm not trying to be all about me, but like I have that older red truck I drive that's paid for. It's got 160,000 miles on it.
Yeah.
Could I get a new truck? Yeah. Would I like to have a new truck? Eh, I don't know. I don't care.
That's I drive an 05 Silverado. I'm in the same boat. Yeah.
Vehicles to me, I'm sure like Bryson, they're tools. Yeah. It's a tool. When I have a crescent wrench and it gets a scratch in it, do I throw it away and buy a new one? No,
right.
I don't give a shit. It's a tool to me.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and that's how he views it.
Yeah. Yeah. Ultimately, you're going to get criticized no matter what, but the only person you have to make happy is yourself.
Yeah.
And if you're married and have kids, part of making yourself happy is making your family happy.
Yeah.
Right. That doesn't mean your job is to make them happy, but it should be that what makes you happy is making them happy. And so as long as your decisions support yourself and your family and your kids, then who the fuck cares what anybody else thinks? That's the, like, so, you know, big deal. Your business isn't growing the fastest out there. Who cares?
Yeah.
Big deal. Your business is growing faster than everyone else's. Who cares?
Yeah.
Right? Like, I know people that have grown businesses wildly, and I don't envy them one bit, because there's one key common thing with all of them. They all have a social media selfie photo posted out there of them in a hospital bed from them either having a heart attack, a stroke, or a panic attack due to all the stress that comes from growing that wildly. I'm thinking of three of them right now.
Yeah, a lot of them.
And
the other thing with that too, you start growing a business like that, and if you do have a wife and or a husband and kid, whatever, if you have a family, how much attention are you giving to your family?
Yeah.
Because that's great. You want to do well off for your family, but are you going to end up on your deathbed by yourself because you built this business up and your kids don't even know you?
And that's why we talk about success as different things to different people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Success to Dan is maybe having 4 trucks and still being involved in his family.
Yep.
Not having 20 trucks and never seeing his kids play sports.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like to me, like that's the balance for me. Mm-hmm. I will put everything I have into it, but when it takes away from me going to see Layla play soccer, fuck off.
Right.
I'd rather see that than have $1,000. You give me $1,000.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, so everyone's balance point is different. To Mitch's point, the real thing is don't give a shit what anyone else thinks, and whatever your balance point is or whatever you view as success, run with that and F everyone else.
Yeah.
That's really the key.
Yeah. You know, and then
we talk about that a lot.
And then take constructive criticism from the people that care enough and are close enough to want you to succeed. There's a lot of people that want to give criticism, but they don't want you to succeed. And then there's your close circle of friends, they want you to succeed and they're willing to give criticism to help you get there.
To truly help you.
That's different than just, you know, calling somebody out on social media that's a stranger where you don't really have a vested interest in their success, you know?
Yeah. I've been killing people on social lately.
And you'll see a lot of that. I love that you went after I've got two.
I haven't posted anything else. I kind of let that one go, and then I'll get back on the train here really
quick. I've got two consistent trolls, and David latched onto one of them and started owning his ass. So
nice.
I finally had to clap out on that dude because
he's a piece of shit.
He always shows up in my stuff questioning every decision I make on social media. And then he tries to give business and philosophical advice. The dude doesn't even have a single employee.
No, he's a GC.
We've talked about this guy.
And so I told him flat out in his post, I'm like, dude, if you only show up to criticize me, this is the last, like, I'm going to give you this one last opportunity. You do it again, and you're blocked and banned.
People.
I said
go,
also. Well, I told him also. I said you haven't built a business beyond yourself. No. So until you have more employees than I do, I don't need business advice from you.
Shut your ass.
You're not at a level and that's not a braggadocious thing or anything else. It's literally just telling him, like, stop trying to give me advice because you're behind me on the journey. Now, I hope you pass me one day. That's great. Maybe I hope you don't. I don't know. Like, I want to do well too. But like I don't take advice from anybody that doesn't have a life that I want to live.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're four times divorced, I'm probably not taking marriage advice from you.
Yeah.
You know, if you've built a big home service business and it's the culture's great and your people are great and your people are happy, then I'm going to take advice from you. But if you're a one man show that's never had an employee, I'm not taking a business advice from you. Your problems are different than mine.
Yeah.
I've already solved 100%. All your problems. I have problems that you don't even know how to solve.
Yeah.
Speaking of problems, I feel like that's something that people, I've had quite a few people call me that I used to work with years ago, and they go, oh, what's it like? You know, do you like owning your own business, this, that, and the other? And I think a lot of people, they get into this, I'm going to run my own business because it's so much better than being an employee, but you still have the quote unquote headaches. It's just different headaches. It's just a different, yeah. You have to turn it into a different mentality, but you still have, every day is not easy. Every day is not, don't think it's going to be rainbows and sunshine every day.
It's just not. You're right. That's a good point. It's not. The thing is, the work that you're putting in, the stress that you're feeling, and the things that you have to deal with are for your direct benefit.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. And if you're willing to do the work for that.
Yes. It actually is more stress. It is more work.
Mm-hmm.
But the reward is for you, mm-hmm. not for someone else.
Right.
That is what the driving factor is. Like, you can overcome a lot of bullshit.
Yeah.
If it's for your family.
Right.
You know what
right.
I mean?
So yeah. Keeping your vision close to home and then letting that pull you through all the criticism is what will get you to where you want to go. And don't let anybody try to tell you where you want to go.
Yeah.
Right. We do it with Tradewinds people all the time. It's like, what do you want for your business? And the moment you tell us what you want, we'll help you get there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's not for us to tell you what you want.
Some guys look at us like, I don't actually know.
Yeah. How about you tell me what I want? I'm like, that's useless.
No, you've got to do you. You got to figure it out.
Yeah.
What do you want?
Yeah.
I
don't want to drag George into this. I think Diaz is in this predicament right now, I think.
Mm-hmm.
He's stacking cash as a one-man show. He's doing great.
Mm-hmm.
And he's, do I want to keep doing it this way or do I want to hire employees?
Right.
And for him, that's something that he has to decide.
Right.
You know, what he wants to do, how he wants to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, and to his credit, in a short amount of time, he's gotten to that place. Like, okay,
mm-hmm. right.
What do I do now?
Yeah.
You know?
That is a great thing about Tradewinds. It's like that post that he put on our private Facebook page, calling me out. But I called him back. I did call him back. I got the screenshots to prove it.
I will say, I don't want this to be a Tradewinds ad or anything, but it's like all of the small groups that are within Tradewinds, the guys that have made friends and help each other out, is so much more important than some of the coaching that they get.
Oh, for sure. I mean? Yes.
Yep. Like the group that you're in with Aaron and Tristan.
Yep. Me, Tristan, Christian, and Aaron.
Christian, too. Like, mm-hmm. you guys just, there's no bullshit, right? It's, you're in a text group. Hey, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? How's this going? What's going on here? And it's just the wealth of knowledge and the relationships that are built through Tradewinds will mm-hmm. last well beyond guys leaving Tradewinds. There have been guys that were in for 6 months that are no longer in that I still talk to.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
On a biweekly basis mm-hmm. or monthly basis. And it's just those relationships will outlast.
Yeah, there's, yeah. I talked to some of the people. I just, Shelby. I talked to Shelby a little, couple months ago. Yeah, she's a rock star.
She, I texted her the other day. I saw you started a podcast and are stealing my ideas. So do we need to talk about this or what? She laughed it off. I said, when do I get to be on the podcast? You know what? That might be a good idea. Collaboration happens at the top. Like,
right.
I would go down there and be on that with her.
Yeah. What's the saying? Collaborate.
collaboration hats at the top and
competition happens at the bottom. Collaboration happens.
There you, there you go.
Yep.
See, that's why I keep Mitch around.
Yeah. Cool.
So,
starting to babble. Yeah. See, after about an hour and 20 is go. When it, it
right
goes
right on
downtown.
The money.
Yep. Yeah.
Right on the money.
Every time, buddy.
Well, we need to be wrapping up.
Glad you got to come, man.
I'm glad I came, even though it's super cold. Not that it's any warmer in Chicago. But.
You know what's fucked up?
We're not done yet. We still got.
He's going to be here in a week and a half for the event, too.
Yeah.
But didn't you say it's going to be 50?
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be warmer.
It's
going
to be
50.
It'll be warmer then. Awesome.
Yeah, this is the last cold snap for a little while.
Bring my string bikini.
Yeah.
Dude, if you wear a thong to the event, I'll give you $1,000.
Threaten me with a good time.
If this show brought you value, if it made you think about things in a different way, if you have questions for us, or even if you want us to ask a Dan a question, we can do that too. A couple of ways to send us questions is askmitch@mitchsmedley.com. You can also send questions to mitch@tradewindsconsulting.com or david@tradewindsconsulting.com. Dandy, either one of those.
Is it dandyplumbingsolutions.com?
Yep. Daniel at dandyplumbingsolutions.com.
There you go.
Send one to Dan.
Dandy, D-A-N-D-Y, plumbingsolutions.com.
If for some reason you're in Chicago listening and you need some plumbing, call Dan.
Yeah. Hit me up.
Hit him up.
If for some weird reason you're not in the trades and listening to this podcast, hit up Dan.
There you go.
Help you out. Good guy.
So until next time, guys, we will see you later.